All right, we're talking to Ken Douglas, who was a major part of WKLO's success, according to former program director Mitch Michael, in the mid-60s. As a matter of fact, Ken, here's what Terrell Matheny, alias Mitch Michael, said. During my time at WKLO, two people provided the magic that made the station great. Bailey, Bill Bailey, and Ken, you. Oh, we had some great jocks, but Bailey and Ken were unique. High praise coming from a guy like Mitch Michael.
Well, I like to tell you that Mitch Michael did a lot for me for that career I had in radio. I met up with him in Louisville, Kentucky. Actually, he asked me to come in and look around at the station. We were having lunch one day, and I went in. He showed me around, introduced me to the staff, the salespeople, the managers, and the DJs. A few weeks later, I had lunch with him, and he asked me if I would like to come and sit in with one of the DJs to talk about London and what was going on in London in the way of fashion and music, and have a talk show as well as a great music show. So I did that for a couple of months. This was in 65, of course, 1965. And Jack Gallo was my partner, and he was from Memphis, Tennessee, if I remember. And he was a great guy. He helped me immensely in learning a lot about radio. Eventually, I obtained my own show, the Ken Douglas Show, working with Mitch, trying to come up with some new ideas. And one of those was to travel over to England, again, my old country, and interview some of the rock and roll groups there, which I did. After being there for a number of months and running back and forth to London, I got my own show, of course, and every night from 7 to 11, we would have wonderful listeners calling in, asking for music for different people across Louisville, Indiana, Tennessee, and I believe as far as Florida in some cases. It was a great period, a great time. We met up with a lot of different people for those few years that I was there. The people in Louisville, Kentucky were great. I had a great following. The governor of the state of Kentucky made me a Kentucky colonel. Also, the mayor presented me with the key of the city, which was wonderful. I was doing some work with children's hospitals there as well. And I was out and about around the city and making appearances for fashions, going to schools, talking to the students regarding music and fashion. And of course, along the way, one of the great things that happened for me, I ended up in 1966 doing the tour with the Beatles, which was the big thing that happened for the station because the ratings were way up there and we were number one. There was a lot of other stations in that city. I think there were two other top 40. The rest were country music and middle of the road. So we did very well for that time when I was traveling. And I had interviews with the Beatles, which was on the air all the time. And we would have contests where people would call in and answer certain questions, and they would win a photograph of the Beatles with me, which we would send out. So we really had a wonderful few years there. Some of the disc jockeys that were in that station at the time, Chuck Browning was one. Reed Yaden was the newsman. We also had, of course, Mitch Michael, who was the program director, and many others that came and went, but some of them are still around, I believe. One of the great ones with me, of course, was Bill Bailey. Bill Bailey and I, we got along great together. He had his show, of course, and I had mine. It was two different things altogether, but he was very well liked in the Louisville area. The ending of 1964, I came over to the States. I traveled from New York out to Louisville. I had to visit some friends. So while I was there, I met up with a gentleman that had a beautiful men's clothing store. Believe it or not, I got a job there for a while. And while I was there, across the street from me was WKLO radio station, and I used to go into a little restaurant there. And I happened to talk to Mitch Michael one day when he was in there, and became friendly with him. And the next thing I knew, I was in the station having a look around and visiting different people. And then eventually he asked me if I was interested in coming in and checking out the station and meeting the people to see if I would like to work there part-time, which I did. And then it was full-time, and then from then on, things got really wonderful, and the show that I had was very successful. The great thing was being able to go out and meet people in the city of Louisville. Many of the young people at the schools, I used to go what they call then the dance hops and run the show, Coca-Cola Company at that time were sponsoring me. So there was a lot going on. I would go to social meetings and meet a lot of good people. And I got invited to Churchill Downs when Secretariat won the Great Race. So really was quite an interesting time in my life. To everybody that's ever worked in radio or thinking about it, go ahead and do it. It's fun. It's very enjoyable. You learn a lot. And there's some good people in the business.
Ken, you've done some interesting things besides working in the men's clothing business and working on the radio before you came to Louisville. Could you briefly tell us about some of the occupations you might have had?
Career, I was in athletics for some time. I was running track, playing soccer, and amateur boxing. Then I got a great opportunity. I got an interview with the Cunard Company to go on one of their cruise ships as an athletic instructor, which I did. I did a world cruise, a Mediterranean cruise, and a Scandinavian cruise. And I was working, taking care of the gymnasium and the swimming pool, which was a wonderful job on a cruise ship. And there were 600 crew on that ship. We used to carry about 1,000 passengers. At that time, I would organize a boxing team, soccer team, and we would go ashore in some of the big cities, and we would have a contest with the local boxing amateurs and put on a show, not only for the citizens, but for the cruise people on the ship that used to come. And we would have soccer games with the local teams. I traveled through the Pacific, many great countries, and from there, I was thinking about coming over to America. I used to talk about lots of people and learn a lot from people, and when I was in New York on the cruise ship, I used to go and visit friends there in Forest Hills, and I really wanted to tour America and see the inner of America and learn a lot about it and find out if I would like it. Well, I did do that. I came over, did a quick tour, went back home, decided I wanted to go, and that's where I went back to America, and then eventually I got involved in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's where I kicked that off.
Let's talk about your music knowledge before you came to the WKLO. You became quite famous for not only knowing about what was going on with London culture and fashions and things, but also the musical groups. How plugged in were you to that when you came to WKLO? Were you just a casual listener, or did you actually have friends and associates in the music industry?
Yeah, I did. I had a great friend in London. His name was Dennis Ackerman. He was a clarinet player. He was great. And I used to go to a lot of the jazz clubs and see him perform with his band. I also was into a lot of music. Late 50s, early 60s, a lot of jazz was very hot then. And then, of course, rock and roll came along with Bill Haley and all those guys. We used to be traveling from London and different areas of the country or over to Europe and always follow the music, especially when I joined the Cunard Cruise Line. A lot of the young crew were into the latest music. We always used to like to go to New York and listen to some of the bands at Birdland and other places. And, of course, most of the diners then were big time, and they had all these jukeboxes. And I remember going to the Paramount and seeing Tony Bennett at that time. So, yes, we were into music a lot, and I loved it. And, of course, we then started to get groups in England, which were coming along strong. I mean, the Stones came on in early time. Dave Clark Five, Herman's Hermits, The Animals, Eric Burden, all those guys were coming along then, and then they eventually hit big time.
Did you know those guys personally before they did hit the big time?
No, most of the people I got to meet were when I hit the radio and went back to England. Then I got to meet them. I got to interview them. Dave Clark was one of them. You know, the faces. I had a friend at the Beatles office. Tony Barrow was the publicity manager. I got to see him and have lunch with him. And he took me over to the Beatles office, where eventually, a few days later, I met up with Brian Epstein. And he was very interested in what I had to say about them coming over to America, and that if they came, he would arrange to fix me up on the tour, which he eventually did, of course. The Beatles, believe it or not, I was in Hamburg when they were at a club there. I was with four Liverpool boys that knew about them and went to see them, and I went along. Tony Sheridan was the guy, was the lead singer. The Beatles were actually, at that time, background music. And then, of course, after leaving Germany and coming back to England, matter of fact, in Liverpool, a lot of people thought they were a German band in the beginning. Once they saw them and met them, they knew they were Liverpool boys. That was when they had Bess with them.
Did you get a chance to have a relationship with the Beatles? I know you interviewed them, as a matter of fact. Somebody tell me about some of your interviews were released as records, possibly bootleg records.
I don't know whether that's true or not. But the thing is, I do know that, yeah, I got to know the Beatles really well. They were great guys. I met up with them in Chicago when the tour started. I was with them every day. I was with them in the hotels. I was with them on plane trips, on the bus trips. Very often I would talk to Paul or Ringo or George or John, sit next to them, have a chat, or go backstage and sit with them before the show started. And because they knew I'd worked on these ships which were going out of Liverpool, they, you know, they really took to me because they knew I'd been to Liverpool. And in England, they call it the Merchant Navy. They apparently had relatives or whatever had been in that business. It was kind of nice being able to relate with them so easily.
How different were they in private, you know, one-on-one, just hanging around them, compared with what we saw on TV or heard on interviews?
Oh, they were great. Very low-key, but always had a great sense of humor. They really were very sociable. I know that it was very difficult for them to go outside their premises. You know, they couldn't. They were indoors most of the time. And if they did go, I remember, I think it was Chicago or Memphis, they put me in another limo, and they put the boys in a flower van. And I got in the other limo because I had long hair at the time, and everybody used to think I was a fifth Beatle. I had this long hair, and I looked very similar to George Harrison in some ways. So they put me in there, and the limo would run out of the stadium, and hundreds of kids would be chasing it, where they would be going off in this flower van. Kids used to try and get up to the floors where they were. Of course, it was all covered with security. But I remember at one time, some girl came up in the elevator in a big box, but when they got to the floor, the thing fell apart, so they got her out of there. There was all kinds of crazy things. I saw one person in Memphis at the show there jump from one of the balconies, and luckily the security guards grabbed her and she didn't get hurt, but she was trying to get to stage. And in Cleveland, we were in the middle of the show, and one girl ran out from the crowds, crossed the field, and the security guards were trying to get her, and she was shooting in between them and got to the stage and then fainted. But then all the other kids started to run, and we had to get the Beatles off stage into their trailer at the back. But Ringo was left up on the drums. He had to jump into the security's hands to get him back into the trailer. So I don't know how they did it, but it's some DJ that worked in Cleveland got up on the stage and said, if you all go back, the Beatles will come out and finish this show. If you don't, it's going to be closed down now. After a few times of that on the microphone yelling at them, they eventually all went back. And I'll never forget that, because the Beatles came out, jumped up on stage, and the first number they did was We Got a Ticket to Ride, which was great at the time. So those are some of the things I do remember.